Hey, fellow Tauri, and welcome to another episode of Open the Iris on the Infinite Potato Alliance Network. I'm Ro, and with me as always is Rick. What's going on, Rick? How you doing?
It's hot and wet in Florida, but that's about standard for this time of year.
It's hot and dry in Washington. I miss the rain. Why? Fuck you, global warming. Fuck you, humans. We're horrible. But anyways, let's forget about that. We're talking about Stargate SG-1. Season 5, Episode 9, Between Two Fires, air date August 24th, 2001. Hey, that's like almost the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of this episode. Written by Ron Wilkerson and directed by William Garrity with a good 8.2 on the IMDb's. Okay, there's a lot going on in this episode.
Everyone take a breath.
Let me get ready. Crack my knuckles. Okay. So, of course, we have a nice refresher flashback of previous episodes with T'Elanna and the Tolans. If you remember, Omok from and the Tolans from season 1, episode 17, Enigma, you know, calling SG-1 primitive because they're a well-advanced race that had issues with, and like they were isolationists, things like that. And then also seeing season 3, episode 15, Pretense, you see High Chancellor Travell and Daniel asking them to trade technology, but she's like, no, that's forbidden. And even though SG-1 saves T'Elanna and Omok shows respect, and then they will maybe see each other again. So we start on T'Elanna, and SG-1 are in formal wear. Nareem is giving a eulogy for Omok, because he is dead. And SG-1 was informed that Omok wanted people there that he respected. And SG-1's like, what? He respected us? What? Like, he revered them. Like, you know. But anyways, High Chancellor Travell tells SG-1 that, hey, I wish to reopen talks about trade for technology. And they're like, what? And Nareem's like, what? And so anyways, they're like, it's a very interesting. So, you know, very unexpected. So then Travell tells, so Nareem's escorting them back to the Stargate because the ceremonies are over for Omok. And then Travell tells a few people, well, no, actually, I'm sorry. I'm going all over the place here. But basically, before they leave, High Chancellor Travell tells them that the Tolan Curia, which is their High Council, they're thinking about changing their minds. So then Nareem escorts them back to SG-1 with security cards per Travell's command, and tells SG-1 that he has no idea why High Councilor Travell wants to even talk to SG-1. So there's a little bit of weirdness there. And then of course, if you remember Nareem has the hots for Carter, and Carter kind of has it vice versa back in season 1, episode 17. But then as they're saying goodbye, they hold each other's hands, and Nareem secretly gives Carter a device. So then Carter goes through the gate and then plays it immediately. And it's basically a recording of him saying that he shouldn't trust anyone and that Earth is in danger. So roll opening credits. Dun, dun, dun. Scariness. So in SGC, they discuss the message and the possible new proposal of trading with the Tolans. And they decide to go back to T'Elanna to see what's going on. So back on T'Elanna, Jack and Daniel go there to see High Council Travell. Carter and Tilk go to see Nareem. High Council Travell tells Jack and Daniel that the Curia have agreed to say that they're willing to trade technology for Trinium, which is a precious metal or ore, even though previously Tolans were isolationists and their policies forbid it to even trade any sort of technology, because previously on their planet they actually shared it with people nearby, which ended up leading to the destruction of the original planet of T'Elanna. And then she tells them that Omok was on the High Council, which is the Curia. And he was the one swing vote on whether or not the Curia would agree or not. But with his passing, it opened up the possibility of trade. So then High Council Travell then, for some reason, turns off the security quarters to speak confidentially, informing Jack and Daniel that even though Tolan can get Trinium off-world, the trade is more of a saving face sort of thing. So Jack and Daniel are like, okay, that kind of makes sense. But however, the proposal for Trinium is to trade just one. Uno, Einth, Ichi, one ion cannon for Trinium. Jack says cool. Nareem then meets up with, and then we go to Nareem meeting up with Sam and Tilk outside, talking about Omok's final days, but in comes Jack and Daniel talking about the trade. Nareem's like, what the fuck? Kyria won't be down with that, so he's just very like, wow, this is crazy. And then they pause it. This is what Omok was concerned about during his final days, and more questions arise about the circumstances of Omok's death. Back at SGC, Carter tells Hammond that she can't reverse engineer the cannon as it's too advanced for humans, and that they really need more cannons, like really 38 to defend the Earth. Jack and Jen are like, 38? What the fuck? 38? 38? God, really? Carter then tells Hammond of Nareem's concern, and the teams think that there's something definitely kinky going on with the Tolans, but they should proceed with negotiations. So next day on Talana, Nareem takes over escort of SG-1 as they converse more about Omok's death, and Nareem shows SG-1, informs them there's a medical chip implanted in all Tolans to monitor their health, and Nareem was responsible for Omok's effects after his death, and he checked Omok's health as he died of a heart attack, but states that Omok was in perfect health, and if anything was wrong, they would have a medical response team respond in less than 5 minutes, but it actually took 10 minutes for anyone to respond to Omok. So that's a lot of shady, questionable things are happening, and Nareem, just nothing but suspiciousness. So Nareem tells SG-1, of course, that they suspect foul play based upon the findings. Jack and Daniel go to meet with High Council Travell and with a small sample of Trinium, and they also, with much nervousness, tries to subtly explain that they really need 38 ion cannons. Trill's like, sure. And she'll go to the Curia with that proposition. And Jack and Daniel are like, that was easy. So back to Carter and Tilk. Hold on, I gotta take a drink. So yeah, back to Carter and Tilk. Nareem takes them to his residence. And, you know, Tolan residents are all fancy and high-techy. And as they enter in, they're greeted by a wonderful voice-activated system saying, welcome home. And, you know, get in the weather. You want some food. However, it happened to be in the voice of Carter. And Nareem gives a little embarrassed but also smile when Carter's like, is that? Who's what? Like, is that me? And like, yeah, it's you. So
it's not creepy at all.
Not creepy at all. And Carter, like, and he's like, I'm sorry. I hope you wouldn't notice. So creepy. It's also kind of cute, but still creepy. Then they further talk about the possibility of Omok being murdered, even though Nareem's like, this can't possibly happen. This is very much unprecedented. And they investigate further by going through all the Curia meetings, as they are a public record, to find any parts where Omok disagreed with the Curia. Jack and Daniel later arrive to say, hey, we're getting 38 cannons, woo! And Nareem's like, what the fuck? In such disbelief. Like, he's like, so Tilk then, as he's looking through records, he finds there's an official protest by Omok 2 months ago to when there was unscheduled testing of the ion cannons with no further explanations of why the ion cannons were even tested. They then find that there were 2 hours of missing meeting records, which is apparently a serious and heinous crime of all the laws of the Tolans, because they find that that sort of stuff is wrong and information should never be not shared. They find that there are, okay, I already said that. And then the Marine has his undies in a serious bunch and tells SG-1 that he remembers that the meeting that has the missing minutes was the same night that Omok came to saw Nareem for dinner, and it was just right after the meeting, even though the meeting minutes said it was like done earlier that day. And then when Omok came over, he was very upset about the meeting. Nareem is very upset that and he tells SG-1 that any omission by the Curia to deceive the people is a very heinous, unthinkable crime to the people. And it's obvious that the Curia are covering something up and possibly leading to the death of Omok. So SG-1 goes back to SG Command to deliberate with Hammond. Hammond gets the details and asks what they will do with the Trinium. Carter says, oh, like what should they should do with the Trinium? And then he's like, and they decide to put a tracker on the Trinium to see what the Tolans would do with it, and Hammond agrees. So back on Talana, SG-1 tells Nareem what they're doing like, you know, we're putting a tracker on it. We want to see what's going on. And to help them sneak into High Council Travel's office to find the truth. Nareem is upset as what they're asking, as they're asking him to betray his people and break some laws. But SG-1 points out that the Curia and Travel are hiding something as well. And investigating is his civic duty by telling him, you know, by informing him that High Council Travel actually turned off the security cameras at one time. And Nareem again explains that that's a violation of their laws. So Nareem says that he still has Omok's access code and can get for the thing the date from his data device. And he has all his, as he has all of his personal effects. Jack then asks Nareem for his phase device to be able to sneak around. Nareem reluctantly agrees. Later that night, Nareem, Carter, and Daniel sneak into Travel's office. Nareem gets into Travel's computer to find that a Gua'uld mothership actually entered Talana orbit around those 2 months ago, and that's when the ion cannons were fired. However, they were ineffective. They did not make a dent whatsoever. But the Gua'uld ship left peacefully afterwards, and that's highly suspicious because we all know there's nothing peaceful about the Gua'uld.
No.
It appears that the Gua'uld has better technology than the Tolans, and since the ion cannons are useless now, it's pretty much why Travel and the Curia easily gave up 38 ion cannons requested by the Humans on Earth. So, meanwhile, Jack and Tilk are tracking the Trinium, and they come to a warehouse and sneak in using the phase device and find it storing a large number of unknown Tolan devices. Back at Travel's office, Nareem finds the schematics of the devices that Jack and Tilk are looking at, and Nareem realizes they're actually weapons of mass destruction that uses Trinium and uses the Tolan's phase shift technology to where it can bypass things such as the SGC Iris. I know, right? They are then discovered by High Council Travel and Armed Security. Travel and Nareem get into it, but then they are greeted by Tanith. That ghoul. Dun, dun, dun. you guys remember Tanith. Like, he was in the episode where Tilk were mad. They got mad at each other. You know, Apophis died. All that fun stuff. Tanith says that he escaped Apophis' ship. And so, yeah. So, meanwhile, Jack and Tilk go back to Nareem's to be greeted by security guards. But then they take them out and realize that Travel is obviously on to the team. Back at the office, Nareem is super mad and says that they murdered Omok. Travel tries to give the greater good bullshit reason, as they have an agreement with Tana to make the bombs for the Gua'uld. Nareem gives Carter a look, and she and Daniel distract them as he uses the phase shift device to escape, but Tana blasts Carter and Jackson, and they are knocked down. Nareem then runs off to be pulled into the bushes where Jack and Tilk are hiding and tells them about Tana and their plans. Then Tilk gives the "oh no, the fuck he didn't say" Tanith look, or the words "Mary, come again." It's a look of death, I'm telling you. At Travel's office, High Council Travel tells security to track down Nareem by using his health monitor. But the officer was like, "That's a serious violation," and Travel's like, "I don't give a fuck, do it." So that's when we learn that Tanith has a new Gua'uld master. So we have a new baddie. But we don't know the name, as Tanith won't reveal his name, as apparently it's too good for them. And Tanith leaves, but tells Travel that he wants Tilk. So back in the bushes, Jack states that they have to destroy the bombs and we need to use a phase shifter. Nareem is conflicted, as it would mean sacrificing his planet to the Gua'uld, but he knows that in the end he has to do the right thing, as Jack pointed out. Back at High Council Travel's office, Tanith tells her it's time. Tanith radios them and tells them it's time for the first shipment, and she tells Tanith that everything's ready. Tanith's like, however, before they send the bombs to them, that they, as a test, they need to send one through the Stargate to planet Earth as a demonstration, of course, which shocks and horrifies Travel and puts her in a serious moral dilemma, as we all well know that Earth is part of the protected planets from the Gua'uld in the treaty, but Talana is not part of any of the treaty. But yeah, during this time at the secret warehouse, Jack and Tilk go there and then they become surrounded by guards. At the office, Sam and Daniel go like, "You fucking knew this shit would happen, bitch. You just didn't want blood on your hands." Travel states that she had no choice, but Sam says, "Yes, you did." So in come Jack and Tilk from being captured, showing that they had Nareem's health implant, which is pretty much all a ruse to trick the Tolan security, as Nareem was is now able to move freely without being tracked. So what does Nareem do? He takes the ion cannon and blasts and destroys the secret warehouse of the bombs, and all the bombs get blown up. Travel and the security team leaves SG-1 in the office, of course, to check. Nareem then faces back into the office to free SG-1 as he states the Goa'uld will soon figure out that they will not honor the deal. And then all of a sudden, like, they can hear bombs going off outside as they are starting to get bombarded by the Goa'uld. Nareem then tries to escort SG-1 back to the Stargate. Carter tells him to come with him, but Nareem, as much as his heart of hearts would love to go with Carter, he refuses and states he needs to be with his people, even though it would mean it seems to be an unwinnable battle. SG-1 takes off, and Carter looks back at Nareem, and they give each other a long glance, knowing it could be the last time that they see each other as Tolans are running around everywhere from the attacks. At Stargate Command, SG-1 briefs Hammond of what happened, and they try to determine who this new Goa'uld baddie is, and that the threat is a threat of new Goa'uld technology that can withstand ion cannon blasts. But Tilk informs everyone that the Goa'uld don't share technology, so it's probably just that one baddie that has it. Then they receive an incoming direct communication from a Tolan long-range device, not through the Stargate. It's from Nareem, transmitting a message that the Stargate is destroyed on their planet, all defenses are failing, and Tolan ships trying to escape are being shot down by the Goa'uld. Nareem then says, "I want you to know," and the feed cuts off before he could finish. The transmission ends, and SG-1 and Carter are looking around at each other, very somber, more than likely indicating the end of the Tolans. And then we roll end credits.
No.
I know, right?
They're so fun.
It was getting good. I was like, what? So, obviously, we're not going to be seeing any more of the Tolans, no more Nareem, which is very, very sad. And you know what? Because the thing is, right before we started this episode, I actually rewatched Enigma, mm-hmm. and Carter gave Nareem her cat, Schrodinger, or whatever, that cat, an orange mm-hmm. cat. So, that means the cat's dead, and I'm very sad about that. So, that really, now that, because I rewatched Enigma. So that cat's dead, and that's not fair. And it's just, yeah, this is a very sad episode. I mean, it was very intriguing. A lot was going on back and forth. Like, this, like normally, because like I kind of like use a synopsis from the wiki, but and to kind of like get some ideas, like, you know, just making sure as I'm watching this episode again, as we talk about it, mm-hmm. Or just before we talk about this on the show, and just there was a lot that happened on this episode, but at the same time, it was just really, I don't know. I mean, obviously something was bad. And so now we have a new Goa'uld baddie, unnamed. I'm sure we'll eventually know his name, and I have no idea who it is. So yeah, no more Tolans. I'm sad.
Yeah, I was just looking up trivia, and yeah, according to the trivia, the Tolana or Tolana 2 or whatever the hell that planet's called is a smoking ruin now. The Goa'uld wiped them out. I loved how utterly inept the Tolan are at being cagey.
Okay, so here is my thing. The Tolans, I mean, they could have, I'm trying to think, like, is there any way that they could have done something about it? And but at the same time, I don't know if the Tolans, like, because that they're so stubborn with their isolationism and their laws and their policies, which are valid based upon their history, mm-hmm. what could they have done? And I'm just like, maybe they could have just tricked them, like tricked the Goa'uld and like sent a message. I mean, they knew of the Nox, and they knew of, you know, they could have communicated. I don't know if they really knew of the Asgardians, but I figure they could have communicated somehow to someone to ask for help. I don't know. It just seems that, you know, they went for the easiest thing, which was to basically make bombs for the people, even though they knew that that was still a bad thing to do, because morally that's very, very bad. So, but
yeah, I guess it's, you know, they were so arrogant. Yeah, I mean, they're kind of like the Goa'uld in this. You know, one of the things that keeps defeating the Goa'uld is their absolute belief that they are infallible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Tolan aren't too far away from that. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that you know, they were like, well, if we're deciding to do it, then it must be the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. It just shows, and it's just really unfortunate that, like, you know, you lost all that technology and things like that.
Well, we'll just remember how utterly, I mean, I liked Omok in a way, just because he was so utterly invariant on his absolute belief that nobody else but the Tolan were worth a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and you could even see in Enigma how he was like, all right, I could see how y'all would think that this is wrong, but y'all are stupid and you're not going to get it. and I just, while he was a douchebag, I loved his performance, and I was kind of sad he wasn't in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But that level of arrogance really kind of lends itself to seeing how the first time they get put over a barrel, they just absolutely collapse because they've never been there before.
Yeah. So yeah, it just seems that, you know, yeah, they, even though they're so well advanced in regards to their history, like, you know, they don't believe in religion anymore and things like that. They still get fucked over by, like, they brought their own demise. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, it is sad that we won't see Nareem anymore, because for all of his, you know, puppy dog eyesing at Sam, and yeah, the home computer voice was just creepy as fuck. And you know, it's kind of funny looking at it now, because, you know, this was recorded, 20 years ago, 20, and you know, if they did that now, Sam probably would have, like, kicked him in the balls and walked out. But back then it was just sort of like, oh, ha-ha, what are you doing?
I don't know, just if Carter felt the same way in the beginning, or it's still fucking creepy. It still looks creepy. But at the same time, you know, people do creepy stuff and they just don't share it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
As long as they don't do it publicly, you know, but at the same time, it's just like, I mean, I'm not going to lie, there are male celebrities and female celebrities out there that I tell my husband, my spouse, like, you know, I'd leave for them in a heartbeat, like, you know, just jokingly. But
we all have our list. Yeah.
Yeah, we have our list. And I also have certain. OK, actually, no, that's going to be weird to say it like that. I can't really. Never mind. I'm not going to say about it. I will say that. No, I can't even.
Well, OK, here's the line where I draw. You know, it's one thing to say that, you know, if Angelina Jolie walked through the door right now and said, you bed now, I'd be like, honey, I'll be back. Because that's never, ever going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different conversation when you're like, yeah, there's this chick at work and she's totally the top of my list now. That's where it becomes wrong.
Well, so OK, so sometimes I vape. And I have a vape thing that I've actually named after some of my favorite hot actors, like Chris or Henry, like for Chris, one for Chris Evans and the other one for Henry Cavill. So I'll just say that.
You know what? If either of them walked through the door right now and looked at me and said, let's go, I'd be like, honey, I'll see you later.
They're so beautiful. And just, I just love them. So like, that's my creep factor right there. But at the same time, it's a joke. So, you know, but still there's nothing wrong with, you know, and you know, there's nothing wrong with any of that. Like if you have a body pillow that's, you know, looking like a person, hey, you know, you're not hurting anyone. It's all good. So now we're just talking about weird infatuations. I love it.
Yeah. Well, it's like, who doesn't have a drawer somewhere that you don't want somebody else looking in? You know, that's kind of the equivalent of this.
Yeah.
Except that, it was meant to be funny, and it was funny, but I don't know how creepy it was back in 2001. Mm-hmm. You know, today now it's like you just don't do that. But you can buy celebrity voices for your GPS or your smartphone or your smart house or anything. So, you know, that's not really that far off.
Stupid wiki, it spoiled it for me on who the new baddie is.
Oh, why'd you look it up?
I was just looking at the notes just to see what we could talk about, and it's like, hey, this is the first mention of this person that you didn't mention it, so now we know who it is. I'm so yeah, I guess that's the new baddie, yay. So we'll see how much he gets into it, but oh, no more Nareem.
Yeah. He was Sam's first alien crush, wasn't he?
I've heard it. Yeah. I mean, if you don't
was
count.
That before, was that before the dude that just sort of appeared in her house?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. That was like okay. this. Was that this season? Yeah, it was this season. Wasn't
it? Oh, was it?
Four. It's either this season or season four. That's all I remember.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I barely remember what I didn't have breakfast this morning. That's why I can't remember what happened.
I don't even remember like, yeah, what happened like 5 minutes ago. Don't even know. But yeah, so this episode was fun, but just sad in general that we're no longer going to see the Tolans or Nareem. But it's, I mean, and it made me think about, actually was researching, like, are there any countries that are currently isolationist? And I don't think there are really any. I mean, there are some cultures. I know some, like, very, I don't want to say the word primitive, but, you know, there are some cultures that, you know, I think it's like there's one near India that if you go, but they're, I don't know, they're not necessarily Indian. But
are you talking about that island in yeah. South America?
Yeah, where that stupid white freaking religious dumb person went and he ended up dying because
yeah.
he told
they
you
were like, fuck off. He's like, no, I want to tell you about God. And like, yeah, all right, then we will kill your ass.
Let's say about Jesus and spread the word. Oh no, fuck you. Get the fuck out. And like there's actually warnings that do not go there. They mm-hmm. want nothing to do with you. And but yeah, he ended up dying. I'm like, fucked around and found out.
Yep.
for Jesus. Okay. For religious people, I don't care. Deal with it. But yeah, there's really no other countries that are isolationist. There has been a history, of course, of us being isolationist in the 1930s, post-World War II, prior, you know, like around the Great Depression era and things like that, and other countries doing it. But of course, like, you know, there's really, it's just, I don't know, it's just, it does seem like a bad thing to be isolationist. In,
yeah,
you know,
well, we're also really good at turning a blind eye to countries that don't have something we want.
Exactly, because we're shitheads. Absolute
yeah.
shit.
Yeah. So we're in a, you know, in a way, we're kind of we're sort of like the Tolan in that, you know, Earth didn't have anything they wanted until they did, you know, and then they had to get rid of the one guy who was still standing in the way of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many African nations that don't have shit keep going through insurrections and massacres and stuff, and we're like, oh, do, you yeah. don't have anything we want.
Yeah, so we want nothing from you. So yeah, I think, I mean, this is a definitely interesting episode to talk about and watch, like, especially with everything that's going on in regards to like current events and things like that. Because I don't know if you recently heard, but it sounds like the Taliban are actually
they're all over the place in Afghanistan now that we've
yeah,
left.
Yeah, and it's not looking us so good, and it's just like really a very sad situation in regards to like there's really no amicable solution in any way, shape, or form, just like how things are in Palestine and things like that. So just, I mean, if anything, this is, I mean, if you don't want, I mean, I hate saying that this episode makes you think, but that's pretty much what a lot of things do. But it just makes you, you know, kind of reflect more on current events and how things are going out in the real world, and just how you just wish things were better. But I don't know, it just kind of sad.
Yeah.
Kind of sad, but more good SG-1 goodness, new baddie, and that means now that Till can really have a. See, so now that makes more sense that Tanith was not dead, because now yeah. we can actually, because like that whole exchange of in those previous episodes where Tilk was super fucking angry until I was wanting to kill Tanith. So I'm basically expecting to see some major thing where you see Tilk choking the shit out of him or something, like just like choking the life force out of him. So I expect that. And yeah, we'll see where that goes in regards to Anubis. But yeah, other than that, like, do you have any favorite quotes?
Yes, I do. There were a lot of them, but my favorite of all of them, when Jack and Daniel are talking to High Counselor Travel.
The 38?
No.
Oh, okay.
But their first conversation, mm-hmm. where she says, our scientists will work out the specifics, but given that you now have an off-world Trinium mine, I'm sure it's within your capabilities. And Jack says, okay, in exchange we get. And she says, a Tolan ion cannon. And Jack says, one of those big honking space guns that shoots gold ships out of the sky? Yes. Cool.
Yeah, cool. Mine was basically both Jack and Daniel when first Carter said to them about the we need 38. They're like, 38? And then they go to High Council Travel.
In a row?
Yeah, like, or like, we need, it's like, so basically, they're like, okay, O'Neill's like, we don't feel like one cannon is gonna work. Jackson's like, you see, one doesn't go so far in protecting an entire planet. Travell's like, yes, that was discussed by the Curia. O'Neill's like, we've come up with a solution you may have not considered. Travell's like, yes, give us more than one. How many would you require? Jackson goes, 30. O'Neill goes, 8. And then Jackson's like, 38 total. Travell's like, I see. Well, I understand your dilemma. Please give me some time to present your demand to the Curia. And then she leaves, and then O'Neill's like, that went well. And Jackson's like, mm-hmm. So, like, it's just that whole awkwardness, because, like, they're so used to them saying no. No, mm-hmm. no. So, good. That is my favorite quote. But, yeah, other than that, I don't think there's really much anything else to say. There's really no major notes or things about this.
This was just a really good episode. This was a mm-hmm. solid episode. There wasn't anything that I don't recall ever going, oh geez. You know, a lot of times, you know, we'll an episode can be fun but still not work completely. And I think mm-hmm. this one works really well. And yeah, it's a shame that we won't be seeing the Tolan again. But also I think this kind of they kind of used them up. I don't feel like we didn't get our, you know, their money's worth out of the characters. Like we have seen in the past where it's like, hey, this is a cool race that we'll never, ever see again.
Yeah, that's very true. So I think it's fine. But yeah, this is a fun episode. Definitely watch it. Let us know what you think, folks. You know, see us on Twitter and all that fun stuff. Do you have anything else to say, Rick?
I do not. Except for congratulations to I wish I could remember her name, the Filipino weightlifter who like.
Oh, fuck yeah. She's
oh, my God. She's just crying before the weights even hit the ground. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
The Japan Olympics just ended, folks. They ended, right? Or are they still going on?
It's hard for me to like appreciate the Olympics because of everything, of the circumstances around it with COVID. But and also certain U.S. policies on certain athletes not being able to go. But whatever. I'm just happy for the people that won, and hopefully everyone was safe. But overall, I hope all our listeners, I hope you are safe. Please get vaccinated. There's no conversation about it. Just get vaccinated. I'm sorry.
Unless you medically can't.
To all the foreign countries, I'm sorry that our country is a piece of shit and that we are basically wasting our vaccinations while only 2% of Africa is vaccinated and other countries around that same amount too, and they deserve the vaccine more than we do. So there is that. But yeah, but let's not talk about that anymore. We're good. But thank you, Rick, as always.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you, listeners. We appreciate you all. Thank you for your patience with us because, like, you know, it is what it is. And we love you guys. Yeah, keep feel free to talk to us on Twitter, and we'll see you guys later, and close the iris.
Open the Iris is a production of the Infinite Potato Alliance. If you'd like to reach us, send an email to the7thchevron@gmail.com. That's the7thchevron, or on Twitter at Open the Iris. Our theme is by Stephen Cogswell, and you can find more of his music at stephencogswell.bandcamp.com, and our logo is by Brandon Ushio of the Fandom Podcast.
Hey, fellow Towery! Welcome to another episode of Open the Iris on the Infinite
That one. Finally, you get a blooper.